الحمد لله ولي الصالحين والصالحات، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له فاطر الأرض والسماوات، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبد الله ورسوله الهادي الداعي بإذن ربه إلى دار السماوات، صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن سار على نهجه إلى يوم تتفطر فيه الأرض والسماوات. أما بعد، يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله ولتنظر نفس ما قدمت لغد واتقوا الله إن الله خبير بما تعملون. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي ثم أما بعد. My brothers and sisters, before I begin, today is Earth Day, and it is something extremely important for all human beings, regardless of faith, culture, or background. Our Messenger, alayhi salatu wassalam, told us the little things in his sunnah about water, don't abuse it, about the air, don't pollute it. And he gave the companions certain ethics and etiquettes that they had to implement in order to preserve and protect the earth in which you and I live in. The Qur'an is even more explicit. Have you read verses in the Qur'an that talks about trees? Allah says, وَأَنزَلْنَا, He has sent down from above us water that is mubarakah. It has barakah in it. Allah talks about the mountains. Allah talks about the luscious greenery in this world. Living on earth is actually a very beautiful thing. We are very fortunate to be here and to have an opportunity to live on this earth where we can meet one another, greet one another, and serve and obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a very fortunate thing for all of us. But with that privilege comes responsibility. I don't want you to think of Earth Day as just a day of the year. It has to be part of your lifestyle, that you take care of the earth that you live in. I know it sounds far-fetched. Let me give you something you can relate to. The responsibility that we're talking about here is you need to make sure that the little earth that you call home is up to the standards that help you and I preserve our way of life. It's clean. You make sure that all the utilities are functioning properly, are operating properly. And the reason why I mention this is I remember a long time ago, I met a brother at another masjid years ago. And he used to drive a car that had thick black smoke that would come out of the exhaust. And he would drive this car every day for weeks. So one day I met him in the masjid parking lot and I asked him, what's wrong with your car? He says, I don't know. So I asked him, like, why don't you just take it to a mechanic? He says, this thing? This is materialistic stuff, bro. I don't pay attention to these sort of things. You see, that attitude, now your car could be a source of punishment for you in the world and in the hereafter. Why? There's no responsibility. We all live on this earth together. And so something like Earth Day has to be the attitude, especially for a believer, every single day of his or her life. You're always aware of the little things so that you preserve, protect, and purify the way you live. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us strength. Allahumma ameen. I also want to note, as for the students that are sitting here, you know, mashallah, they're doing their part. Just a few days ago, they're out in the fields picking up all the recycling material and bottles and whatever they can, just cleaning up the property of the masjid. Fi sabilillah, may Allah Azza wa Jal preserve and protect them and reward them. Allahumma ameen. Ayyuhal ahbab, as to what follows. In the 100th surah of the Quran, Surah An-Nasr, this surah was given to the Messenger alayhi salatu wassalam very close towards his death. And one day Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, he was sitting amongst the senior companions and they were discussing the surah. What was the intent and meaning of إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ. They were talking about the surah. And the senior companions and Umar ibn al-Khattab, they're exchanging thoughts and ideas about the surah. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, who is only 13 years old at the time, he walks in to the masjid where all these senior companions are talking about the surah. And the senior companions look at this young kid and they're like, Umar, why do you keep bringing this kid amongst our meetings? Why do you keep inviting him? And Umar ibn al-Khattab looked at Ibn Abbas and said to him, we're talking about إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ. What do you think it means? So Ibn Abbas responds and says, this surah is an indication that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam is going to die very soon. And Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu looks at Ibn Abbas and looks at the rest of the companions and says, I agree with him. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma. This surah is profound because it begins by talking about the conquest of Mecca, which is a very unique situation. It is probably the only battle in history where there was no bloodshed. And in addition to that, the Muslims who were victorious in this battle, they didn't go around and persecuting all those who were living in Mecca and say, give us our property, we are victorious now, give us your wealth, give us your gold. They didn't do any of that. Allah said, إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ. Whenever the help or the aid of Allah comes to you, إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ. And then the fatḥ or the opening or the conquest of Mecca, وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسِ, and you see all the people, يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجَ, they come into the religion of Allah, أَفْوَاجَ, they come in packs, in groups, an enormous amount of the population starts to walk into Mecca. Listen to Allah's advice to His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ إِنَّهُ كَانَ تَوَّابًا. Allah Azza wa Jal tells him, I want you to make tasbih of me. Constantly wet your tongue with my remembrance. وَاسْتَغْفِرْ. And I also want you to make istighfar and repent to me. Why? إِنَّهُ كَانَ تَوَّابًا. Allah Azza wa Jal, He is the source of tawbah. You get the strength to raise your hand and speak to Allah because Allah gives you that strength. If you are a person that you don't speak to Allah regularly, then realize that this is one of the signs Allah has stamped your heart. May Allah protect us from that. Allahumma ameen. It's a blessing to be able to make tawbah. It's not a privilege. It's not something that comes natural. It's a privilege. Allah gifts you with that. That's why you have so many of our brothers and sisters that we meet and see all the time. They're falling into so many problems, so many mistakes, but they can't seem to shovel themselves out of that. May Allah Azza wa Jal give us strength. Ayyuhal Ahbab, having said that, many of you know that last week, a dear sheikh and teacher of ours has passed away, Dr. Muhammad Ayyub, rahmatullahi alayh, who was also one of the former imams of the Prophet's mosque. Most of the students of Medina University had studied under him, especially the students in the West, including myself. He taught me Surah An-Nisa for 1 year. And I want to mention a few things about him which will lead me into the latter part of my topic with you. Dr. Muhammad Ayyub, rahimahullah ta'ala, was an extremely disciplined man in the sense that his entire life revolved around the masjid. His routine revolved around the masjid. No matter what plans you made with Dr. Muhammad Ayyub, it'll have to work around salawat. He was once asked in an interview, if you had one wish in your life, what would it be? Sheikh Muhammad Ayyub responds and he says, and he started to cry and weep. And he says, the one wish that I have is that I am able to lead the musalleen, the jama'ah, one more time in the Prophet's masjid before I meet Allah. Because he was an imam in the early 90s, and for about 19 years, he was unable to lead the salah in the masjid. So within that period, he's asked this question, and he says, this is my one wish. Then he was asked, do you have another? He said, another wish that I have for my family is Allah has given me 5 children, and I wish and I hope and I pray that all of them memorize the Qur'an. Last year, 1 year before his death, Allah Azza wa Jal opened the door after 19 years and he is leading the people in the Prophet's masjid, Salatul Taraweeh. The day of his death, he had attended a hafla or a get-together, a celebration for his daughter, who is the last daughter to have memorized the Qur'an of all of his 5 children. They've all finished. So he attended a celebration. And after that he went back home. He told his daughter, turn on the AC. She turned on the air conditioning. And then he went to sleep. His routine is that he would always wake up an hour before Fajr, pray the Qiyamul Layl, rest a little bit, and go and lead thousands of people for Salatul Fajr. And he went to bed that same night and he never woke up again. Brothers and sisters, the reason why I share this with you is I honestly believe that the average layman Muslim is still learning how to comprehend and understand the reality of how quickly and swiftly death will find you. Aynama takoon, wherever you are, yudrikum al-maut, death will find you. وَلَوْ كُنْتُمْ فِي بُرُوجٍ مُشَيَّدًا, and even if you happen to be in high and large towers high in the sky. It's an expression because Fir'aun used to say that about himself. He used to order the people, build me a tower that I can reach Allah. So Allah puts him and every one of us in our place. Don't think that the higher you climb, the farther you are from death. It'll still find you wherever you are. The way you have to think about the reality of death is it has to be something that never leaves your memory. You have to live every moment of every second of every day of your life as though it is your last, as the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us. He taught us to be in this world as though you are a traveler. You're just passing by. That is the attitude of the believer. The attitude is that you're just here for a temporary time and period or moment, and then you continue traveling. Your final destination will be the Akhirah. So when you hear that, now the verse is like, إِنَّكَ كَادِحٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ كَدْحًا فَمُلَاقِي. You're on a, what I like to think of as a conveyor belt. كَادِح is a position that's always moving forwards. I want you to think about a conveyor belt. You put a parcel or a box on it. No matter how much you twist and turn the box, you flip it upside down, the conveyor belt still continues to move forward. That's your whole life. You can be in denial all you want, but you're still getting older and weaker and time is still ticking. Once there was a time, our Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam told us a story that happened with Musa alayhi salam. Musa was asked by Allah, Ya Musa, kayfa wajadta al-maut? O Musa, how did you find death? Musa alayhi salam describes death to Allah, I found myself like a bird, being fried in a frying pan alive. On the one hand, it wasn't a sudden death, but at the same token, I couldn't, or the bird cannot fly away and save itself. This is Musa alayhi salam, the prophet that is mentioned the most in Quran. What about you and I? On the 12th of Rabi' al-Awwal, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam opened the curtain of his house and he looked out and he saw Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and the rest of the jama'ah assembling for Salatul Fajr. They all saw him peeking through the curtain of his home. And they began to get excited and happy. Rasulullah is coming to lead us for Salatul Fajr. So Abu Bakr, who was about to lead the jama'ah, stepped back and went within the line. And the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam made a gesture, continue. And he closed the curtain. Hours after sunrise, he calls his wife Aisha radiallahu anha, and he leans on her chest and embraces her comfort. You know what's happening? The prophethood is about to end the same way it began. It began with his wife. When Allah told the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Iqra," or Jibreel came and he said, "Iqra, read." After that incident happened, who did he run to? He ran to his wife. And he said to his wife, "I want you to cover me." And he used the term zambiluni, which actually is a term used for a plastic bag. So he's telling his wife Khadija radiallahu anha at that time, "I want you to wrap me around your arms like how a plastic bag would wrap items. I want you to make me feel secured." Now the prophethood or the message is about to end in a very similar way. He takes comfort with his wife, Aisha radiallahu anha. At the same time, Abdul Rahman ibn Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu walks in the house, the son of Abu Bakr. And he's holding one of these. He's holding a siwak. And the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam sees the siwak. You all know the story. And Aisha radiallahu anha, she looks at her husband and says, "Do you want it?" And he nudges his head, yes. He's too weak. Remember, he was poisoned by some meat in the battle of Khaybar. So his body is becoming very weak now, very frail. So he nudges his head in agreement, he wants it. Aisha says, and she always talked about this moment, "There were three things that I was given by Allah that no one else had with the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Number one, he died in my home. Number two, he died on my chest. And number three, my saliva was mixed with the blessed saliva of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam." She took the siwak and she could feel that it was very stiff. So she asked the Messenger, "Do you want me to soften it for you?" And he said, in agreement, yes. She put it in her mouth and she softened it with her saliva and she gave it to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who used it as well. Remember, the saliva of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a dawa, it was medicine. Some of the companions, when they saw him spitting on the ground, they would race and pick up the saliva and rub it on their bodies because they were healed from it, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So at this moment, Jibreel alayhi salam is sent to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam and is asked a question that only the prophets and the messengers are asked. He's asked at this moment, "Will you permit me to allow the angel of death take your soul now or later? Or do you wish to return? Or do you wish to return now to Allah Azza wa Jal? Do you want him to come now or do you want him to come back later?" Only the prophets and messengers had the honor of deciding this. And the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, leaning in the chest and lap of his wife, he raises his right hand to the sky and says, "I wish to return to Al-Rafiq Al-A'la, to Allah the Most High. I wish to return to him. And at that very moment, Aisha describes, I saw his hand fall to the ground and his body exploded with fragrance and perfume. And she started to scream, مات رسول الله. The messenger has died. The messenger has died. And people outside the house, they heard this. The news spread quickly. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu turned around and ran back to the house. When he got in the masjid, he saw Uthman, who could barely walk. He saw Ali, who could barely speak. He saw Umar radiallahu anhum. He was there brandishing a sword. And he walked past all of them and he went into the house. And he saw the messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He has passed away. And he went up to the body. And he said, طِبْتَ حَيًّا وَمَيِّتًا. Your fragrance was beautiful when you were alive. And it's even more beautiful when you are dead. أَمَّا الْمَوْتَ الَّذِي قَدْ اِقْتَتَبَهَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكَ. But as for the death now that's been sent upon you, you've tasted it. And no harm will befall you after this day. And Abu Bakr kissed the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, hugged him and walked out. There was a man who was walking by the house. And he saw the body of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And he made a dua to Allah. Allahumma ghud basari hatta la ara ahadan ba'dahu. He said, oh Allah, take away my sight so I don't see anything else after the body of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. I gotta ask you a question now. Do you see the connection companions have with him sallallahu alayhi wasallam? You see the connection? He's dead in front of their eyes. And their heart is still speaking to a dead heart. It's still talking. There's still this attachment. So I have to ask you to ask yourselves a question that every single believer of Allah must ask themselves every single day. How much do you love the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam? Don't say to yourself, well, I dress like him, so I love him, or I walk like him, so I love him, or I talk like him, so I love him. These are not things that are conclusive that show you that, you know, you've done it, you love this man. The secret ingredient that teaches you you love the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam is you live the lifestyle that is closest to him. If you're a teacher, then the first method that you learn to becoming a teacher is how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam taught people, because he was the best teacher. If you're a parent, you become the best parent by studying how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a parent. If you're a leader, the same thing. If you're a speaker, the same thing. If you're a student, the same thing. If you're a scholar, the same thing. If you're just an average layman Muslim who kind of does their thing, their routine every day, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam is for you. If you're a counselor, the same thing. If you're a doctor, the same thing. If you have that attitude where every question of your life is attached to how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would have answered it, this is a sign that you truly love him. So at this point, the news spread quickly. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he walked out and he did something that no companion had the courage to do except Abu Bakr. Allah gave him strength to do this thing. He stood up in front of the people and he said, Ya ayyuhan nas, halummu ilayh. O people, come towards me, gather around me. And he started to say to them, "Man kana ya'budu Muhammad, whoever used to worship Muhammad, fa inna Muhammadan qad mat. Then indeed Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is dead. وَمَنْ كَانَ يَعْبُدُ اللَّهِ And whoever used to worship Allah, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ حَيٌّ لَا يَمُوتُ Then Allah Azza wa Jal is alive and He never ceases to exist. And he gave this message to the people. And then he started to recite verse number 144 in Surah Ali Imran. وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ قَدْ خَالَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ الرُّسُلُ That Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was nothing more than just a messenger. And he was created the same way that prophets and messengers before him were created. And the people, when they heard this verse from Abu Bakr, some of the companions described, it was as though it was the first time we were hearing the verse in our entire lifetime. And they all started reciting and reciting and reciting the verse. Then it was time for Salatul Dhuhr. Abu Bakr ordered Bilal radiallahu anhu, go make the adhan. When Bilal got to Ashhadu Anna Muhammadur Rasulullah, he stopped. And he began to weep, he couldn't continue. And Abu Bakr had to stand beside him and continue the adhan and lead the people in prayer. And after Salatul Dhuhr, they debated, what do we do with the body of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And eventually it was said that they heard the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that they are buried where they died. So at that time his body was on the bed, they lifted the bed, and they began preparing the ground to bury him sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It was at that moment that Abu Bakr ordered all the people of Medina to come and bid their farewell salam. And this happened for 3 days. The men came and they bid their salam and they kissed him and they hugged him sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The women, they came and bid their salam. Then the children came, and on the third day, Aisha radiallahu anha, she said, "We knew that the visitation was over when we could hear the tools digging in the ground late at night." And she went to Ali radiallahu an, and she asked him, "Ya Ali, how is it that your heart allowed you to put dust on the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? How did you find the courage to do that?" And Ali wept in front of her. And he couldn't even respond. And as the days went by, every time a child was born, all of Medina would cry. Because there was no Nabi to put a sweet date in the mouth of that child with his blessed hand. There was no Nabi to kiss that child and welcome that child and make dua for that child. Every time someone died in Al-Madinah, everybody would weep because there was no Nabi to make dua and pray janazah over that deceased body. And the people, they would always say, "Wa Muhammada, our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." My brothers and sisters, in the second part I conclude with one question. May Allah Azza wa Jal continue to flourish our hearts with love for our Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah Azza wa Jal continue to increase us in knowledge and practice. Allahumma ameen. Aqulu ma tasma'un wa astaghfirullah li wa lakum wa risa'il muslimin min kulli dham. Fastaghfiru innahu huwa al-ghafuru rahim. بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. So I conclude, how much do you love النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم? This is a question no one can answer for you. You have to answer that yourself. You have to go back home today and you have to stop and think. And you have to reflect and ponder. And you have to observe and watch the lifestyle that you're living. What adjustments need to be made so it comes closest to the lifestyle of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And you know why that's so important? Because when death finds you, it doesn't apologize and take a rain check and say, I'll come back another day. It finds you in whatever state you are in. Just like my teacher, Dr. Muhammad Ayyub. He wished for certain things in his life and Allah gave it to him. This is a sign that when you're on the right path and you're doing the right things and you're striving to love Allah and to love His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah gives you a righteous ending. Dr. Muhammad Ayyub was recently asked, why don't we set up a travel schedule for you? We take you to Europe, we take you parts of the Middle East so that you can meet the rest of the people around the world. Dr. Muhammad Ayyub says, I'm 63 years old. And that is when the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam died, so I await my turn. I don't want to leave Medina. And Allah gave him the death in Al-Madinah, and Allah azza wa jal honored him with perhaps the largest janazah Medina has ever seen. Rahmatullahi alayhi. My brothers and sisters, this is what I leave you with. Think, go home and reflect with your family and your children. May Allah Azza wa Jal increase us in strength, knowledge, ikhlas, taqwa. Allahumma ameen. Inna Allaha wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabi. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad. Kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim. Innaka hamidun majid. Allahumma aghfir al-muslimin والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم والأموات إنك قريب سميع مجيب الدعوات اللهم إننا نسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى اللهم إننا نسألك الجنة وما قرب إليها من قول أو عمل ونعوذ بك من النار وما قرب إليها من قول أو عمل ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.